Now joined by John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jimmy. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Thank you for joining us. I want to get your take on New Orleans and Tampa Bay, both getting rooms at hotels so that any staff members, any players could kind of sequester themselves. Do you like that move, and do you think that other NFL teams will follow suit?
Well, first of all, it's voluntary. A player doesn't have to stay there if he doesn't want to, because you can't make them do that because of the collective bargaining agreement. But, of course, players are going to do it. And if somebody raised the question, will Tom Brady sequester to Tampa hotel and not see his wife and kids? Somehow I doubt that. I would think if teams were going to do that, they already would have made plans to do it. Tampa being the second one, New Orleans going to do it in preseason. So who knows if that'll help them or not. I admire them for looking for ways, just like Denver, when players go on the field, they go under this thing that's like you're going through security screening at a sporting event, and they get sprayed with a mist, even though the COVID-19 is in your body, not outside. But teams are trying to do things that give them the best chance to have the fewest players test positive. Jacksonville's had 12. Several teams, including the Texans, have not had any since they reported. They had a couple in all season. So I like the fact that teams are trying things based on what their experts tell them.
Players have until tomorrow at 4 o'clock to opt out. Do you think we'll see a barrage of players doing that?
I don't think we'll see a barrage at this point. There's already been a barrage. There was, last I counted this morning, there were 55. I'm not sure how many have today, but I'm guessing there will be more. I know Tre'Davious White of the Bills, Pro Bowl cornerback, said he's thinking about it. I'm sure a lot of players are thinking about it. We've been doing Zoom interviews with the Texans, and one of their most prominent outside linebacker, Whitney Merciless, said he has people in his family who have pre-existing conditions, and he's just not going to see them during football season. And I think there's probably not many families, if you're older, that don't have some of these pre-existing conditions. The deal is just stay apart from them until the season's over.
Now, the NFL is going to, even though the deadline's tomorrow at 4, they will allow you to opt out later if you have a family member that's positive or there's a new diagnosis revealing a higher risk for somebody. I would think that only is common sense to allow that. What do you think?
I think that was smart. It also says in there if a family member dies. So they're trying to cover all their bases. I think you have to keep everything open. And I'm wondering, too, if there might have been or will be a couple players who don't like playing for their team, or maybe they don't like the coach, and they just say they don't feel comfortable, take the 150, like they've already made a lot of money, take the season off and come back next year. What I wonder, 2 years from now, how many players who have opted out will be on the same team in which they've opted out from?
Good question.
Interesting. John, Aaron Rodgers was asked about if there's been any talk with the Packers on keeping quarterbacks maybe separated, any precautions in terms of COVID-19, and he said, no, nothing that I've heard of. Do you think that's unusual?
I don't know, because we don't have access to everybody. I know the Texans, I'll be stunned if they don't keep a quarterback, a kicker, and maybe a deep snapper separate from the team. Bill O'Brien, we asked him about it last week in a Zoom call, and he didn't say he was going to do it. He said every day we try to cover 1,000 bases, and one of the things is not just a quarterback, it's a kicker and a snapper. And I think that would be smart. Some team, I think it's Cincinnati, and you don't equate Cincinnati and smart, but they're talking about keeping all their quarterbacks away. Every meeting is a Zoom meeting. But they're still going to be on the field. But I would keep one player, a quarterback, with somebody to snap the ball. I would have him in on every meeting, every game plan, all by Zoom, have him working out on a separate field and staying totally away from his teammates. But there are people, guys, who think you're better off around your teammates, because that means you're with the team and the team is taking every possible precaution, than you being on your own. Even if you take every possible precaution. J.J. Watt described what he found at the Texans NRG Stadium and their Houston Methodist Training Center across the street. He described it as being like the Terminator. And he said guys were still trying to find their way around, figure out where they go first. They have three dressing rooms, multiple cafeterias, all the doorways are face recognition. And he said once everybody figures out the logistics, then things should be smoother.
So by covering all your bases, you mean like John Gruden telling his Raiders team that he had COVID when he didn't, just to see how they would react?
Yeah, I don't think anybody go that far. I think with Gruden, you know, Sean Payton had it. Doug Peterson has it now. And a lot of people, you know, I'm wondering if it'll ever be like the flu. Somebody gets it and we just say, hey, he's got the flu. He'll be back when he recovers. Because most people do not get seriously ill. Most don't have to go to the hospital. And the younger and the healthier you are, the less likely you are to be in bad shape. We see players, as soon as they can pass those tests, they're back. And if you do something stupid, like go to a strip club or go anywhere where there's more than 10 people, then you get quarantined and you're going to miss a game, maybe two. So one of the things I would do if I was a head coach, I would tell the players, if you violate those rules, not only are you going to miss a game or two while you're quarantined, and you're going to miss the pay, and then you could be suspended without pay, I'm going to make you come up here in front of this room and explain to every teammate why you broke the rules, why you were so selfish or ignorant or both to put your teammates in jeopardy. And I would think that'd be a pretty good deterrent to hear a coach say that a player is going to have to answer to all the whole team.
John, Matthew Stafford put out a release when he was reactivated from the reserve COVID-19 list. And they were, I guess it might have been the Lions on behalf of Matthew Stafford, explaining that he did not have COVID-19, that it was a false positive test. Have you heard about many of those false positive tests in the National Football League?
Well, first of all, I was told by doctors at Houston Medical Center, which is the best in the country, that about 20% can be false positive. That's why players get tested multiple days in a row. But I don't understand how they would know that. Maybe he just got over it. And remember, it doesn't really do any good for players to play a game and get tested the next day, because you can wait 5 days before it gets in your system. And that's why it's so scary for a team that plays on Sunday and starts undergoing tests. Oh, yeah, they're negative. They're doing great, when it might not be in your system until 5 days later. And that's 2 days before the next game.
Let's go to the phones where Tom joins us. Tom, you're on with John McClain.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I've been curious if this is, if any major stadiums at all have been considering this, which is to do a test run for admission. Because I know even if they do 20, like say Neyland does, allows only 25% of fans per game, that's about 25,000 people. So if we're going to do, like, temperature checks, we're going to do all this stuff, you kind of have to. I know, like, Disney World and Dollywood, they all did test runs where they had select people come through just to get an idea of, like, what do we need to do, you know, how are we going to do temperature checks, are we going to, you know, how are we going to enforce masks and some of this. They need to do basically mock runs. And I was kind of curious, are any of these stadiums considering this, or are all these going to be like, well, if they say we can have fans, we're going to do it or not? Because I feel like, if they need to be ready for like A, B, C, or D different scenarios of whatever is going to be allowed. And I'm just curious if we've heard of any stadiums or arenas even are looking into this.
Tom, that's a good question. Thanks for the call. I'll be stunned if there's fans in the stands. What would be the point? I mean, like in Texas, we set records almost every day. Same thing in Florida, Arizona, California. What would be the point of bringing in 25,000 fans? Every team has a plan for bringing in fans from half the stadium down to a quarter of the stadium. And I don't even understand why somebody want to go to a game under these conditions. Now, I don't know what it is in college football, but in the NFL, if you want to come to a game, you can't tailgate. You have to wear a mask, of course. You have to come into the game at a certain time is designated. When you're coming in, you have to be 6 feet from the people in front of you. No telling how far that line's going to stretch. You have to keep your mask on at all times. You might be in the upper reaches of the end zone. You might be on the 50. When you go to the bathroom, you have a designated bathroom. You have to, like for the men, every other urinal shut down the line and trying to keep people 6 feet from each other. We'd be out the door, down the concourse, kind of like they are for the women's restrooms at sporting events and concerts. And you'd have to leave at your designated time. Nobody could sit around you anywhere except family members. How do they even know it's family members? Are they going to have a bathroom police where some security guards in there? Excuse me, sir, you're not 6 feet from the guy who's trying to go to the restroom. And, you know, do you want to go and use a restroom that hasn't been cleaned, that strangers have been in, and you don't know if they've got the virus? You know, taking a temperature doesn't do squat except show you could possibly have it. They're not going to administer tests. I just don't know why anybody would want to risk it, including administrators, because if people get sick with COVID-19, they can't prove it happened at the game, but you know the lawyers will line up to sue the school, to sue the state, the county, everybody they can to try to get a money grab.
John, will you cover Titans games at home? Will you go to the ball games?
I asked the Texans media relations director this week if they'd had anything with the league yet about how much media is going to be allowed at games. I think the first game Texans play Kansas City, I'll be there because you're going to have protests, you're going to have kneeling, you're going to have Bill O'Brien, the head coach, taking a knee. That'll just set off fans around the country. You know, the NBA and Major League Baseball's had people kneel, but it hadn't created nearly the controversy that the NFL does, mainly because the NFL is more popular. But and you're going to have Arrowhead Stadium empty. So the atmosphere, you can't get it on TV. You know, the TV's a national anthem. By the time they come back from the national anthem, it's going to be all over Twitter from people in the press box about who took a knee, who did this. So I think, you know, you've got to be there. The key is how many are they going to allow? The Houston Chronicle has 8 credentials to home games, 3 on the road. There's no way we would get 8 for home games if everybody's social distancing.
Our guest, John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. We're talking NFL. If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. With Vince Ferrar, I'm Jimmy Himes, Sports Talk 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Thanks for listening and making 99.1 The Sports Animal number one for sports conversation at work.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Ferraro. Got a final. Coyotes 4, Preds 1. Series now 2-1 in favor of the Coyotes. John McClain is our special guest. He is with the Houston Chronicle. We're talking NFL.
John, we talk a lot about the player opt-outs, but we haven't really heard about coach opt-outs, and they would seem to be in the biggest risk because there are a number of older coaches. Is this just something that the coaches feel pressured to stay in those positions? Do you think it might happen before long? What do you think about that coach opt-out aspect?
There hadn't been any take it that I know. Texans had a great special teams coordinator, Brad Seeley, one of the best in NFL history. He retired, and it was kind of unexpected, but that was 2 months ago. And coaches don't have a union negotiating for them like the players do. And I think coaches, too, they know how fleeting the job is. If a coach opts out and they hire somebody to take his place, there's a good chance he ain't getting his job back. They would never say because of that, but that's a fact. I think that's one reason that coaches don't opt out. They're worried about the consequences.
John, what do you make of what we're hearing out of Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers? There's a lot of discussion, LaFleur comments, Rodgers comments, and discussing in what Aaron Rodgers, what the situation might look like, and Rodgers' future. What do you make of these exchanges going back and forth with those?
Vince, I don't make anything about it because it doesn't mean squat. Nobody can say what's going to happen to Aaron Rodgers. They don't know if Jordan Love's any good at all. Patriots passed on him, and they needed a quarterback. And I can't imagine that and Matt LaFleur, the Packers coach, said this week that he envisions Rodgers being there a long time. And the natural question was, well, then why did you draft Jordan Love unless you think he might get to play in some preseason and you could get a higher number one for him, which is never going to happen. It's obvious there. Aaron's getting up. He's 36, I think, or 37. He has said he wants to play into his 40s. That would mean he'd play way beyond Jordan Love's 5 years. So it's going to be a constant source of speculation, and the Packers knew they were going to get it as soon as they made that move.
John, Derek Carr, Raiders, said he's tired of being disrespected. Does he deserve more respect?
Well, it depends on what he calls disrespect. You know, he got him $100 million contract early in his career. That's not disrespect. I guess he's talking about the Raiders. Nobody's picking them to win the division. I haven't seen yet people picking them to go to the playoffs. They had a losing record last year. He had a good season, but he's not an elite quarterback. Now, I'll be surprised if he's with the team beyond this season unless he plays great and they make the playoffs, because Gruden will have played with him for – is this 3 years now? Then it's about time Gruden's going to want his guy.
Cam Jordan of the Saints said of Tampa Bay, they've got the second greatest quarterback of all time behind Drew Brees. Now they'll go head-to-head a couple of times. We've got our work cut out for us. They've added Gronk and McCoy. They got 2 1,000-yard receivers. This is a team fighting for second place. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's great. That's the way he should feel. You know, everybody loves Drew Brees. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's got one Super Bowl ring. I think that Brady's got 6. So I don't know of anybody outside New Orleans and maybe Southern Louisiana that would say Brees is better than Brady, who is the greatest of all time.
Which teams do you think have the best chance to make the playoffs who didn't make them a year ago? Always there are a bunch of them. I'm going to run through some teams, and you tell me if you disagree with any of them or if you feel strong about one over another. Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay.
Yes.
Dallas.
Pittsburgh and yeah. One in each conference, Pittsburgh yeah. And Tampa Bay.
What about
Cowboys
Dallas?
Right now, they got a chance to make the playoffs. Of course, they should win their division. Their division's not very good. Philadelphia's not that good. So Cowboys, I don't think, will make a wild card. They need to win the NFC East.
Raiders?
No.
Rams?
Yes, they were 9-7 a year after going to the Super Bowl. They've made a lot of changes. The most notable to me was not on the roster. It was running off defensive coordinator Wade Phillips, who's now in Atlanta. And I told you guys before, and I'll tell you again, everywhere Wade goes, they make the playoffs in the first year. So ask me if I think Atlanta's going to make it.
Atlanta.
Yes. I can't give you any other reason than Wade Phillips and that stat.
I have to ask you the obligatory Antonio Brown question because it's resurfaced. Do you think someone's going to give him an opportunity after the NFL said they were going to give him his suspension?
You know, he's got a sexual assault suit. Civil suit from a woman, and it was very well documented in a story by Robert Klemko. I can't remember if Robert did it for the Washington Post where he is now or at SI before he left SI, but it was very, very in-depth and good. And so on top of his 8-game suspension, he's got this sexual assault issue. He's a quitter. He's quit on Mike Tomlin, John Gruden, and Belichick, three Super Bowl winning coaches. He's a head case. Lamar Jackson showed his how naive he is and ignorant, or both, when he said he's not a quitter and he'd be great in our locker room. Well, he has not been great in locker rooms, and he's quit on his teammates, his fans, and himself. And if you want to take a chance on a head case like that, you deserve all the bad things you're going to get.
John, we've asked you about the Titans before, but now that they're in the camp and we're getting a little bit closer to the year, maybe some of the personnel for other teams in the AFC South, how do you view the Titans right now?
I think the Titans and the Texans will compete for the division as they did last year. Texans are trying to win it for the fifth time in 6 years. Titans are trying to win it for the first time since 2008, which was the last time they had a record better than 9-7. Indianapolis thinks by signing Phillip Rivers that Rivers will bounce back and not play like he did last year, and that would make it a three-team race. And remember, one more team makes the playoffs in each conference this year, so that gives renewed hope. But I think it's going to be a tough division, a fun division, and as it usually does, it'll come down to injuries and now possibly COVID-19. And I'll tell you something that I thought about the other day. The Marlins, I think, have played three games. Other teams have played 10. And the Marlins are 3-1. And if the season ended tomorrow and you went by winning percentage and the Marlins made the playoffs, they would be glad they'd gotten COVID-19 way back in August because it helped them have a better winning percentage.
John, what are you working on with Texas Sports Nation?
Jimmy, we got podcasts, got columns, got stories. I'm writing one tomorrow about the Texans' offensive and defensive coordinators. While they've been with the team, they're calling plays for the first time and the pressure that they will be under. We did Zooms today with 11 assistant coaches. We'll have a lot about them. I appreciate you guys having me on. Vince, always fun being on with you. And Jimmy, thank you. And you guys stay safe.
John, thank you. Always enjoy visiting with you. That's John McClain. Does a terrific job. He's with the Houston Chronicle. A great follow at McClain_on_NFL. And we always enjoy him. He's been with us for a number of years. We go year-round with him because there's so much to talk about with the NFL. And we thank him for his appearance.